Okay, so good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, today is Thursday, the 27th of March. Obviously, there's an awful lot going on in these markets. There was some really significant selling across your risk assets. So we were in a quite a strong risk-off market dynamic yesterday afternoon. As we closed out the European session and saw further continuation to the latter part of the US trading session. Now, we've got a particular view on that, and it's more of a technical view as opposed to, you know, a very significant shift, because we'll discuss kind of why these markets were so bearish yesterday. And how we are, you know, potentially going to position ourselves after yesterday's moves. So we had a bias for further continuation to the upside yesterday in the indices, and markets rolled off very, very aggressively indeed. So let's break this down as best we can, and we'll reposition ourselves if we need to through our trade plan, which we'll post into the chat box just towards the end. Okay, so please take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. As always, just be mindful of the risks involved in trading these markets. So, bear with me a second. Okay, so just as a quick introduction then, all profitable traders need to consider, you know, which markets to trade, where do we then enter and exit those markets, how do we manage risk, trade management as well, along with trade psychology, all very important features, of course. And we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, and we're strong advocates of still maintaining a high degree of consistency, no matter kind of what happened. Like yesterday was a real kind of good example where the wheels came off a little bit across Mag 7, across the US equity markets, and more global industry markets as well. So it turned really unexpectedly fairly bearish relatively quickly, and we saw a lot of volatility in that respect. It's important to still maintain a degree of accuracy in your pricing, discipline with our capital, and of course patience as well. So let's have a look at what was happening yesterday, and we try and put our finger on exactly what effectively happened. So what we actually saw yesterday was a bit of positive news. We've seen durable goods orders actually increase quite considerably, not as high as previous. If you're looking at headline durable goods orders, this is only month on month as well, and these are quite volatile numbers, but you know, a significant, you know, 2% swing really from what was expected. So that's slightly better news than the markets were anticipating. And apart from that, I suppose the only other sort of major news event is crude oil inventories, which came in considerably negative. And if you've got a negative stockpile, you're more likely to increase demand, therefore pushing prices higher. So we bear that in mind when we're looking at oil markets. It's probably worth bringing in a few other aspects of a few of these softer or minor news events. So durable goods orders coming in much, much better than expected. We go back to Tuesday, we've got consumer confidence numbers, which were certainly weaker. We've got a bit of weakness in new home sales as well, slightly below expectations, nothing major. House price index year on year is certainly elevated, slightly above expectations. No major surprise there with the current supply of housing. And then on Monday, just to sort of round off the week's news, we've seen a sizable uptick in flash services PMI numbers from expectations. So that's really good. And manufacturing coming in way below, which is not good at all. So this dynamic is quite a good representation, is that there's some good news and there's unfortunately some bad news. And we build in, you know, a lot of the FOMC from last week, the fact that they're holding their rates at 4.5% We've still got really good, strong jobs numbers. And we've got today now, or should I say, at 12:30, we've got US GDP numbers, which is expected to come in pretty strong. And this is the final of three GDP numbers. So we wouldn't really expect much of a deviation, maybe 10 basis points in either direction. So when we look at the soft data, it's looking not great. Certainly looks like there's underlying difficulties coming down the tracks. But for now, the headline numbers seem to be still strong at this point. Now, these are quarterly GDP numbers. So we've still got this contrast between Trump data versus Biden data. With unemployment claims still quite strong, 225, anything around 220 is a really strong unemployment claims number for the US economy. We've also got a GDP price index quarter on quarter as well, pending home sales today. So we've still got this broad mixed bag. And then we build in a bit of analysis around the bond markets. And we really do ask ourselves, are we seeing a reaction in the bond markets? Well, this is the 10-year Treasury note, so slightly longer term duration. We're up at 4.36. So as you can see, we are beginning to climb. The 2-year seems to be a little bit more sideways moving. We're sort of stuck around that 4% mark. Now, this still gives the Fed, you know, two rate cuts. It still fits in with that particular dynamic because the Fed are far more interested in the 2-year Treasury in terms of influence and impact. So the 2-year, the Treasury, the two rate cuts, that all sort of fits together quite nicely at the moment. And we always look to these markets for, you know, a gauge on risk. So we can see risk off in the industry markets. We look to the bond markets and suggest, right, well, are these rallying aggressively? And the answer is not really. We're mildly making a little bit of an increasing yields on the 10-year, but nothing's really happening on the 2-year. So what that suggests to us is that we've got a periodic price move across indices, but we're not seeing broad risk off market dynamics when it comes to that equity bond yield relationship. So we're not necessarily seeing capital coming out of equities and automatically going into bonds. So we had a good long discussion about all this yesterday. We'll continue to have some of these discussions again today. So I wanted to just show you the US indices. Right, a really significant rollover to the downside. And I wanted to show it to you, the NASDAQ, it's the same move. But to show you that there is this phenomenon in trading markets. And it's around closing the gap. And it's a phenomenon that continues to happen time after time again. So when we're selling off, our instinct would suggest to us that actually what we're going to do now is close the gap. And you can see here, have we closed the gap yet? No, but we're really close to doing it. Really, really close to doing it. So for all the buyers out there, which we are arguably one of them still, even though we got a lot of selling yesterday, look what happened the last few weeks when we got some selling. We repeatedly get some continuing buying. Now, this could be a bit of a game changer. And the other dynamic we want to build in is we would really be more comfortable buying this market if we close that gap. It was the same analysis. We had the same problem Monday morning when these prices start to rally. So we had our stop losses in place. So those were just trades that turned around in about 2 hours and just looked really, really aggressively bearish. But look at what's happened since, you know, overnight. We haven't sold off that much more. So we gapped lower and we rallied lower a little bit, attempting to close the gap. And we've just spent the last sort of 7 or 8 hours rallying again. Now, our expectation is that we will get down to close this gap. And to be fair, once we've done that, if we are looking for a buying opportunity, which we are, then we'd want to see that happen first. Now, let's say we close that gap and then we get further structural failure trades to the downside. That would be a pretty strong indication that we would we could really turn quite bearish on these markets. So we've got an upper trend line in this market, and we've got support levels just coming through here. So what we've got is a bit of space to close the gap and to turn around. And this is more of a, this is more like we were going to the upside and then a few hours of really significant rollover to the downside. And then we gap lower, we pull back, we make another leg, and we're failing to sort of make new highs now at these prices. Same analysis for the S&P. So what we want to do is close this gap. And you can see this support level coming through in here as well from a previous level. So if we come down into this little space and then we start to see that, or let's say just even a small little bounce, then we'd be looking to get in at slightly lower prices once we close that gap. Right, that's the base case for a buy trade. The same is also true if we get some further consistent selling. We've had a little bounce and we start to break through these levels. What we're saying is we're at an important decision-making point, just slightly below these current levels. So we can either support the buy trade, or we potentially could, if we keep our options open, see prices rallying even lower, down to 5,600. So we actually want to keep options open. We're not necessarily surprised with the selling, especially when you take into account Donald Trump's tariff narrative. What we're finding is there's a bit of a limited response in bond yields, but the equity markets are selling off, and we've seen some significant strength yesterday from the US dollar. We're seeing that play out across the board. So further weakness for the euro. We're actually looking for a bit of a buying opportunity. We're just not sure when we're likely to get that opportunity. We're still in that pullback phase. On the daily now, we've pulled back. We actually touched the 200 daily period moving average. So when we talk about these moving averages, this is the black line is the 200 period daily moving average. And when you're below that level, it can act as a bit of a magnet. And then when you break through, you're looking to try and stay above it. So if we zoom out a little bit more, we'll probably get... So looking around here, sometimes we can trade above and below it, but when we're above the 200 daily period moving average, we're pretty much often looking for further upside. Now that could be on a pullback, it could be kind of a continuation breakout trade to the upside, and you can always refer to, actually, we're above the 200 daily period moving average. This moving average is really important for longer term investors. So you're talking about significant capital flows. So what's happened? We've rallied, smashed, you know, this is all around the European additional spending commitments. We saw a big rally in the euro. We continue to rally higher. And all we've seen is a 2, 4, 6, 6 day pullback in the euro dollar. But look where we've pulled back to, into the 200 daily period moving average. So it has the potential to be a strong low. So now we're looking for sort of turnaround opportunities. Are we going to get any? So this market would suggest this is on the 15-minute time frame. So yesterday we rallied to the downside. We've had a little bit of a strong bounce, and now we're looking for a bit of a structural failure trade to see if the dollar itself can weaken across the board. There's no guarantees. Markets like the dollar Swiss, for example, is just up and down 2, 4, 6 days. So we're seeing for the dollar, it's not really getting involved hugely in the panic that we're seeing in the equity markets. So yes, a little bit of dollar strength, but it still doesn't represent convincing strength, if that makes sense. So we'd be looking probably to start selling the dollar yen if we just get a little bit higher. We kind of are roughly around resistance levels, and we're above the 150 now as well. But if we do rally a little bit higher, we'd be looking to see if we can sell the yen at that particular point. Same situation for the euro yen, pound yen. So finishing off the dollar, a lot of indecision. We're not really seeing the moves that we're seeing in the equity markets play out against the dollar, and certainly not seeing the reaction in the bond yields either. So it's kind of a standalone panic yesterday. Now, it's understandable, Trump tariffs, talking about, penalizing Eurozone and Canada if they sort of team up, or are they victims? He's playing the victim card now, saying the US is going to be victimized by these tariffs, but he's the only one that's really going out of his way to impose them. So, yeah, it's retaliatory measures. And the whole situation is just very, very messy. So, look, we're still in the Aussie dollar to the upside. We're still in the New Zealand dollar to the upside. We kind of want to stick with those trades. Luckily, we've got our stop loss. This is why we have 2x the spread beneath the low. This is why we leave a little bit of room below this low. And you can see it held up quite nicely yesterday for the New Zealand dollar. So support is support unless it actually confirms and breaks those support levels, which it wasn't able to do. Lastly is just commodities. So yesterday we had some significantly negative crude oil inventories, which really supports the price of crude oil. And we said yesterday, if we do rally into $70, we'd be looking to sell. And we've got a high of 70.03. So very difficult to be more accurate than that, this little spike to the upside. And now look what we're seeing. We're seeing a bit of a structural failure trade to the downside. So we can become sellers below the 69.32. So let's make a note of that. So 69.32. So that's crude oil. We're seeing a bit of a rally again in gold. Our bias would certainly be to the upside. We'd probably be looking for a little bit more value out of the dollar pairs. So we can just do our trade plan then. Let's get a move on with this and we'll let you guys go. So yesterday, broad mixed market conditions, because we're waiting for bond yields to kind of reveal themselves. Are the risks increasing for these economies, or is it decreasing? Because it's kind of pretty much flatlining. So it doesn't really give us the answers that we're pretty much looking for just yet. Now, the bias, certainly European government bonds look elevated due to their additional spending, increased debt. The more debt a country takes on board, like the German economy, the greater the risks start to become. If you're fiscally very responsible, it keeps rates down. So you've got to, it's a really try and gauge risk. So market summary, mixed market conditions. I think we could pretty much have to stick with that. So potential indices strength. Upon gap close. So yesterday we had a bit of a buying opportunity in the DAX, which turned very very bearish yesterday, and it's continuing to look a little bit bearish today. But really, we're not making that much progress. We're just currently experiencing a little bit of weakness, running into the 50 period moving average. So probably get a little bit more downside, but then we'd probably be looking for buying opportunities. So really, we've yet to see stuff that we are fully leaning into. And this is where the uncertainty of Donald Trump comes in, and it's just a bit of a nightmare for traders. So we don't have a buy trade in the DAX. So we still have potential dollar weakness post current pullback. We're still in that pullback phase. The New Zealand dollar kind of sold off quite aggressively. We're able to pull the trigger above that 57.50 level. And we've got crude oil. Crude oil looking to sell below. It's just the level we've been talking about for a little while, 69.32. And I guess it's just really important to keep all options open. Now, we've got this potential upside in the US indices. If we close the gap and we see further rollover to the downside, then that indice buy trade is pretty much not on the table. So keeping our options open, being flexible mentally. Now, if we get into a trade and prices break higher and then reverse and tank, you know, we'll accept that risk at the point of entry. So it's not gonna sort of keep us up at night in any way, shape, or form. Like we saw yesterday, we saw a complete rollover. Did we want to pivot and start selling? No. Sometimes you get that pivot point where if you get taken out, you're kind of wanting to shift your positioning very, very quickly. So when we started to see all that selling yesterday, we're actually looking to buy at lower prices. So those are your options. You either look to pivot and sell, didn't really have much to work with, especially with positive durable goods orders. But like the whole Trump tariff dynamic playing out in the background was really disruptive. And I suppose there was a bit of panic yesterday, panic and fear and anxiety. It all plays out in these markets in real time. And I suppose that's what we're really leaning to. Okay, so look, I've just posted today's trade plan into the chat box. It's important to maintain a high degree of sort of mental dexterity, be a little bit flexible in your thinking. We may pivot today if we get that opportunity to do so. And keeping those options open is going to be so important. All right. So listen, on that note, we'll explain more as we go. In terms of, we'll have a real good look at these narratives. And you see, the difficulty we've got is very few of these narratives are playing out in a traditional sense, in a from an expectation perspective. So we're always flying a little bit blind, really, with a lot of our trading at the moment. I don't know if that's the right analogy. Probably not. But it feels like we can only just see in a very, very narrow pathway, and we need to be able to see much broader than what we currently have. Okay, so listen, on that note, thanks very much for joining us. We'll be back again, of course, tomorrow, so we look forward to seeing you then. For everyone else, we're trading the European trading session now in just a moment, so we'll see you there very shortly. Right, thanks everyone, as always. Take care of yourselves. Speak to you soon now. Bye-bye.